You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday. God bless you, whether it's 6:30 a.m. on WWBC, good morning. 7:30 a.m. on WMIE, good morning to you as well. Or 5:30 in the afternoon on both stations, good evening. Thanks for joining us here today. God bless you. We're tuning into God's frequency now. This is WGOD. I'd love to own those call letters if I owned a radio station, because I love the idea that God's always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. All you need to do is go to where he speaks. We're going to hear a lot of words from him. Now we're going to hear all of the great things that transpire to you, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, when you do what God says in his word. We're in Romans chapter 5. He says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by grace into this faith in which we now stand. Look at these things that transpire behind the scenes that are yours once you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior. That's where we're at here today. This is part two of this sermon, started yesterday, Romans 5. This weekend I'll be in Romans chapter 7, Sunday morning, 10:30. The place, Island Community Church. The location, 1000 North Banana River Drive, right here in Merritt Island. We'd love to see you. If you're new to the area or looking for a new church home, why don't you guys come by and visit here this Sunday morning? We'd love to see you. Okay, let's get into the word. Let's hear from the Apostle Paul now, justified by faith.
Think about it. You're upset that God loves you. Who does that? Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You can gain access to Almighty God, and that's through his Son. Number four in his handout: I can now rejoice in tribulations. I can now rejoice in tribulations, wherein in times past you couldn't, or at least it would have been meaningless. Die without Jesus is meaningless. Fly a plane into the World Trade Center is meaningless. It's not going to get you anywhere. 72 raisins, that's not going to get you anywhere. I can now rejoice in tribulation. Verse 3 tells us why. He says, not only that, we rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation, look what it says, tribulation produces endurance. Hupomone is the Greek word. It's like mixing two compounds together in science class. Mixing this, justified, mixed to that, tribulation, end result, I shall not be moved. But that only comes through tribulation. You got the justified part, you see. He says, when you mix these two things together, being justified, that is knowing that God's got your back, knowing your name is in the book of life, knowing God is on your side, knowing no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You've got all that over here, and then when the world adds tribulation, it produces something in you, enabling you to stand up to to someone 9'6" and say, "Get out of my face, friend. Because God's for me. There's nothing you can do to me. God is for me." Right? He says, what shall we say to these things? We'll get to that in chapter 8. If God is for me, who can be against me? But understand that tribulation produces. It's his own word. Tribulation produces what David had when he stood up to someone 9'6". Because you read earlier in that chapter, David says that he killed a lion and a bear before he met Goliath. Once he got a grasp that God was for him, look out, world. Look out, world. And God's no respecter of persons. He does and feels the same way about you. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. He says, your name I have engraved on the palm of my hand. Right there, he's going to say, Richie. That's pretty good news if you ask me. And if it says Richie on God's hand, tell me, who in blazes are you going to fear when you leave here today? The fool that knocks on your door and says, are there any Christians? Or the wacko that says, prepare to meet thy maker. You really want to torment me? Let me keep living in this evil world. If you really want to got me, you'd get me, you'd leave me alone. Make me continue to watch this stuff. So I can rejoice in tribulation. Because you can take to heart the sovereign God of the universe is at work behind the scenes, transforming you into a spiritual giant just like he did David. And you need this even more today in this evil world that we live in. Now, James wrote pretty much the same thing. He said, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter, or one translation says, count it all joy when you fall. How are you guys doing with that one? Count it all joy when you fall. Count it all joy when you encounter or fall into various trials, knowing that, all right, this is the second writer now that's giving you the reason why. And both answers is the same. Paul said, because something happens to you when you're undergoing trials. Now James is going to tell you the same thing. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it that the NIV says, count it as pure joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. Number 5. Endurance produces approved character. That's how my translation reads. That's what I read it to you. Along with the New American Standard reads the same way. Not character. Oh, so-and-so is such a character. Approved character. Big difference. The Legacy Standard Bible reads this way. It says, and not only this, but we boast in our afflictions. By the way, can you say that this morning? Are you boasting in your afflictions today? Boy, that'll go over well at the charismatic churches down the street and around the corner. I'm sicker than you are. I'm sicker than you are. Am I crazy?
No.
These guys boast in it. They boast in things because they know that behind the scenes, these things are making and creating them, making spiritual giants out of them. Being at peace with God, and then tribulation. And not tribulation because you're late on the rent, but tribulation from knocking on your door asking if there's any Christians? The tribulation with the knife at your son or daughter's throat asking, are there any Christians? That's kind of what he's talking about here. Not because you're late on the electric bill. Though that too will produce endurance. It's not just that. Not just the threat of death. I learned a long time ago when I worked at our radio station down in Stewart, we were short $65,000 and we had a day and we said, Lord, help us, we need money or they're going to shut the station down. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, ding dong. Open up the front door. A lady handed me a check for $65,000. And she said, the Lord just told me to come here. I thought you guys might need this. Now, you got me once, but you won't get me again. You see, this, all kinds of tribulation produce endurance. It means I'm not going to cut bait and run, is what endurance means. Whether it's a threat of your life or you're going through something in your life, endurance is running this marathon race. Tribulation, that's trouble, produces in you endurance, strength, what it takes to get through whatever. Never again am I going to doubt that God will not come through in the midnight hour for a need. He doesn't say, I'll supply all of your wants. He says, I'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. All right? For you guys visiting, I promise only keep you another hour and a half. Golly, I'll never be back to that church. I can hear it now. You know, that's probably my greatest joy of this pastor appreciation this month. I mentioned it to someone the other day. My greatest joy is that when I tell you guys we're going to run a few minutes over, or I could stop here if you want. My greatest joy is when people in here say, bring it on. Sharon tells me she's going to throw out the clock back there. That's my greatest joy, is that you guys love the word like you do. That's the greatest thing to me. Endurance produces approved character. Let's look what that looks like. If you guys would turn with me, please, Genesis, first book in your Old Testament, Genesis chapter 22, starting from verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, approved character. I don't got to leave a lot of time to turn to this one. First book of the Bible. Genesis, here we go. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham! And he said, here I am. So God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to these young men, you stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Can't you just picture these guys like Leave It to Beaver with his arm around his son? and he's got a knife in this hand and a torch in the other, walking up the hill. And that place where they ended up is the place where they built the temple, and it's the place where they're going to build the next temple. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in the fire, and he bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to kill or slay his son. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." Verse 12, and he said, "Do not lay a hand on this on the lad or do anything to him." Look what he says. He says, "For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You see, this is what approved character looks like. It has a knife in hand in this instance. God says, "For now I know." You see, when God says about you, "For now I know," you have arrived. That's what approved character looks like. Do you love God more than all these things? Do you trust God above all else like Abraham did? Especially when you don't understand. When God leads you to do something you don't understand, do you trust him like this? Endurance produces in you approved character. All right, number six. My hope won't disappoint me. My hope won't disappoint me. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint. Again, he hits you with a because. Why? What does hope have to do with being disappointed, you know? I hope I get a hippopotamus for Christmas. I hate that song. Really? If that's what your hope is, I think, pray tell, you're going to be disappointed. Hippopotamus? Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It was given to us. Fascinating. Your hope won't let you down because of the love of God. Love that you now possess. Now, your hope is what we call biblical hope. Biblical hope is the substance of things hoped for. It's the assurance that God is going to do what he says. Like when Job says, "I know that in my flesh I shall see God." You see, the love of God is one of the things that you receive when you become a Christian. How else do you think you could possibly love your enemies and bless those who persecute you? Only one way, that's with his love in you. God has poured out his love into our hearts. Our hope is joined together with his love. And your hope will not disappoint you. God will do what he says. Your hope will not disappoint you. God is for me. Your hope will not disappoint you. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Your hope will not disappoint you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Your hope will not disappoint you. Let God be true and every man a liar. Your hope will not disappoint you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the down payment for all that is the love of God that has been poured out into your heart. It's like he popped your head like a Pez dispenser. And then he takes a great, it even says the word poured. He poured in you a bucket of love. And we love, the Bible says, we love because he first loved us. And he says, this love that you have won't disappoint you because God's going to do what he says. It won't disappoint you. It won't let you down. Number seven, when I was helpless, Jesus died for me. When I was helpless, he doesn't say, when I put in money in the offering plate, when I had a good day, it says, when I was helpless. Helpless means, well, it means you can't help yourself. When I was helpless, Jesus died for me. Verse 6, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Not for the beautiful, not for the lovely. He died for the ungodly. The incredible news, and what's hard to fathom for me, is he considered me lovely even in my worst state. Praise God, he looks beyond my sins and saved me in spite of myself. That's good news, right? Ephesians 2:1, put it this way. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For it's by grace you have been saved. Number 8, God demonstrates his love for me on the cross. That's verse 8. God demonstrates his love for me on the cross. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The point here is that through it all, God still considers you lovely. Even in your worst state, God loves you. Not just now, but then when you were still a sinner and not a Christian. When you were an outcast and a troublemaker, God loved you. When you were simply unlovable, he still loved you. All right, let's add a few more to these real quick. Number 9, I am justified, there's that word, I'm justified by his blood. But I thought he said in verse 1, I was justified by faith. True, faith is your requirement. The blood is his offering. He made an offering too. He offered up his blood. His life's blood. It's the blood of Christ which obliterates your sins. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. All right, let me move on here. The last one. We have been saved from the wrath of God. Now, there's a difference between the tribulation and the wrath of God. You as a Christian have been saved from the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tribulation? Yes. Jesus says in this world, you're always going to have it. Tribulation? Yes. God's wrath? No. Lastly, number 11. I am saved by the life of the Son of God. That was verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You certainly can't lose that, can you? You're saved by his life. Not yours, not by any offering on your part, but by his resurrection life. Jesus is alive, and he's offering this same resurrection life to you. Look at what he says. You're saved by his life. Because he lives, you can not only face tomorrow, but receive eternal life and resurrection life. Listen to this verse. John 14:19. He says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Then he says, because I live, you will live also. You want to get the kids from me? You want to ask Luann to come in with the kids? Because I live, you will live also. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And now the end result of all this is praise. Verse 11, not only that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So there's our list. Praise God for all that he's done. What an awesome list of God's greatness towards us, isn't it? Look at all the things. Look at all the things that he has done for us. All behind the scenes. Justified, peace, access. I can rejoice in tribulations now because I know God is for me. Endurance produces approved character. I can be like Abraham by enduring and trusting God, by leaning not on my own understanding. My hope won't let me down because I've got the love of God now. Jesus died for me when I was helpless. That'll help us when you're having a bad day. God demonstrated his own love for me on the cross. When you doubt that God loves you, look at the cross. It's on display. I'm justified by his blood. Faith on your part, blood was his offering. Your offering is one of faith. His offering was his own blood. I'm saved from God's wrath. You'll never endure the wrath of God. You will suffer tribulation. Christians for years have been fed to the lions. But you'll never have to endure the wrath of God. And lastly, I am saved by the life of the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you here this morning. We thank you for all you've done behind the scenes. We praise and magnify your holy name. We thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive what you've done. We call on your name. We praise your holy name, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, you guys can hang out here.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. Well, in 1 Corinthians 5:12, Paul tells us we are to judge those within the church. Yet in Romans 14:13, there he says we are not to judge one another. Now, John, that sounds like a contradiction, at least on the surface. In what way, if any, are Christians to judge one another?
It was Jesus, you remember, who said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And then, in the same sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he turned right around and said, you better judge those false teachers. You better judge them, because you need to discern whether they're true or not. Judge them by their fruits. Look at their lives. So what do you mean? If Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged," and turns right around and says, "You better judge false teachers," how are we to reconcile those things in the same way that you commented on those various scriptures? The answer is this: you can't render the final verdict. That's what Jesus was condemning with the Pharisees. Stop judging in the sense that you think you're the final court, that you think you're the final judge. You're not. But that's very different than discerning truth from error, deceivers from truth tellers, true prophets from false prophets. And furthermore, we are clearly to judge sin in each other's lives, not in the divine sense, but in the discerning sense. What is the first instruction to the church our Lord gave? If you see someone in sin, go to them, confront them, take two or three witnesses, tell the church, confront sin. Discernment, yes. Final verdict on people's lives, that's for God.
All right, thanks, John, and thank you for listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching, or if you have a question for John, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day